Hallelujah. 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 We're certainly grateful, aren't we? Come on, put your hands together. If you're grateful, you're grateful. God bless you. God bless you. Music ministry for ushering us into the presence of God. I dare you to have a flashback. You will soon discover that you've got so much to be grateful for. Amen. In spite of how life may be currently and presently for you, if you look back over your life and see from whence you've come, you'll have an attitude of gratitude. You'll be grateful. So thank you so much. I want to thank God for you today, Guilt Edge, and thank God we've had good attendance in Bible study. We can do better. I think we had, between the two Bible studies, roughly around 30 people between Tuesday night and on Wednesday morning. And so I want to encourage others of you to come and share with us. We started last Tuesday on dealing with the Beatitudes, the request of a member, and so I want to continue that this week. I also want to thank God for those members who went to Oak Grove to support Dennis. I couldn't make it, Dennis. I was sitting at the bedside of Sister Bell, and I was like a sponge. So I normally don't take a seat when I go to visit, but Sister Bell was talking, so I listened. And so I want to continue. Want us to continue in prayer for her and others who are part of our congregation who are sick and who are shut in. So we want to certainly pray with and pray for them. Listen, Guilt Edge, on Saturday, there's going to be a fellowship for my wife at Cheddar's on Outer Loop. And if there are any ladies who wants to join it leading up to my 32nd year as pastor there at Mount Zion, and they're honoring my wife on next Saturday, I think it starts at 1 o'clock. And if there's any ladies who want to go and share in a time of fellowship, I think everybody pay for their own meals. It's just a time of fellowship. If someone will be responsible, Miss Wilma, if you would, if there's any ladies, and you could let me know by Tuesday, and I will forward that information so proper provisions can be made. So thank you so much in advance for those who will. I appreciate it. And if you can't, just pray that the fellowship will be wonderful there at Cheddar's on Outer Loop, and that's this Saturday. I'm excited. Next Sunday is our church's 98th year anniversary. I am excited about it, and I hope you're equally excited. I want everybody to be here. Our colors are blue and white. Amen. We're going to be honoring members, all members who are 80 and over, active, amen, or inactive. We're going to be honoring you, and so we want to encourage you to be here to share with us. Amen. You ready for a word? Won't you stand to your feet today? Won't you stand? Father, in Jesus' name, we love and thank you today, God. Thank you for these series of lessons and sermons you've been sharing about breaking free. And so now, God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds once again today, God. Make your word relevant and applicable to our lives, God. Give us principles to practice so that our lives may be better, God. We thank and love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Amen. It's on the screens for your convenience. I'm going to ask us to read it aloud together. Ready? Read. Therefore, I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Again, I want to again continue our theme of breaking free. And I want to deal today with breaking free from worry. Worry. I read an interesting story that I want to share with you today. Death, early one morning, was walking toward a city. A man encountered Death and says to Death, "What are you going to do?" Death replied, "Today, I'm going to take 100 people in this city today." The man replied, "That's horrible." Death said, "Sorry, that's just the way it is." So the man did what he could after getting this pertinent information, and he rushed in the city early that morning and reached out to everybody he knew and he could, telling them, "Be aware, Death's around here." And Death says he's taking 100 people today. But it was interesting that evening when the man got home, late that evening, he was reading the newspaper. And much to his surprise, there was 1,000 people that had died. And the man said, "Man, how horrible." Death said 100, but 1,000 people had died. The next day, interestingly, while the man was out taking care of some things, guess who he ran into? He ran into Death again. The man says to Death, he says, "When I seen you yesterday, early in the morning, right after midnight, you told me that you were only going to take 100 people." He said, "But when I was reading the newspaper, there was 1,000 people who had died. You lied to me." The man told Death. Death looked at the man. He says, "Sir, I didn't lie to you. I only took 100 people like I said. Say, worry killed the rest." Can I talk to you? Don't let worry kill you. Medical science has closely tied worry to heart trouble, blood pressure problems, migraine headaches, and some stomach disorders. Be on guard against worry. Stanley Jones says that worry is the interest you pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry, my brothers and sisters, is when we become preoccupied with future trouble, that our present thoughts are troubled. Furthermore, I want us to understand that worry is an attitude. It's an attitude. And understand that our actions are controlled by our attitudes. Change your attitude, you can change your actions. When a person carries an attitude of worry around, guess what we call them? Worry warts. Are you listening to me? Worry can cripple us to the point of making us ineffective and unable to cope with life's changes. Can I ask you a question? What are you worried about? You worried about your health? Are you worried about your finances? Are you worried about your children or grandchildren? What are you worried about? Are you worried about your job? Let me once again remind you, worry will not add to you. Worry will only take away from you. Let's listen in on this text. And let's look at this text and see what lessons we can learn about worry. My brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 6 is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus here once again is teaching kingdom principles for the disciples to practice as well as for you and I to practice. One scholar suggests that the Pharisees were more interested in material things. They were more interested in material things and the getting of material things than they were walking by faith. Jesus did not want his disciples to emulate that attitude or that mindset. And so Jesus paused here in the Sermon on the Mount to teach them against that kind of attitude or behavior. Are you listening to me? And so what Jesus literally does, he teaches them here. He says to the disciples or teaches them not to worry about physical things, but he teaches them that they ought to have a spiritual focus. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, what I believe Jesus here was reminding the disciples then, that he did not want them to be like the Pharisees. And so let's look and listen in on what Jesus teaches them and what he teaches them about worrying. Number one, look at the text in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and your body more than raiment?" Watch this, my brothers and sisters. The first principle I want to share with you that I believe Jesus is teaching, he's reminding them that worry, number one, is needless. Can I ask you a question? What is it? What do you do with stuff you don't need? I can't tell you what to do, but I want to offer this suggestion to you, is that you don't need worry. But it's up to you what you going to do with it. See, some folk are harder. They like to keep stuff even they don't need. I wish I had some help in it. But it's your decision what you going to do with worry. But I want to remind you that worry won't help you. It'll hurt you. But you still got to decide what you're going to do with it. Do you want to keep something around that you know is going to hurt you? Now watch this, my brothers and sisters. In the King James translation, this word thought, take no thought. In the original Greek language, it means fretting, anxious, or worry. Jesus is teaching against it. He's telling them, don't you fret. Don't you be anxious. Don't you worry. Now watch this real quick. He says, and now the root word means to divide, to cut into pieces, and to pull in different directions. This is what worry does to us. It causes us to fret. It causes us to be filled with anxiety. It causes us to be pulled in a different direction than that of God. It's no good. Jesus, in this verse, is reminding us about the danger of being preoccupied with natural material stuff in life. Please don't misunderstand me. Jesus knows we need food. He knows we need clothes. But my brothers and sisters, he expects us to take proper actions regarding those things. Provide those things, go to work, buy the necessary food, buy clothes. But watch this, my brothers and sisters. He don't want you to be excessive. In other words, there's got to be balance. See, there are some people who just want to work, but they don't want to worship. And you got to understand, see, it's not a either or. It's a both and. Go to work, buy clothes, buy food, buy the things you need, but then also worship God too. See, in other words, there's got to be balance in our lives as believers. Are you listening to me? And so watch this. So what Jesus is teaching, in essence, I really believe he's teaching about the issue of priority in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where he talks about, he says, my brothers and sisters, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says all these other things will be added. I wish I had him. Will be added to you. It's about making the kingdom of God a priority in our lives. So my brothers and sisters, when a person worries, their peace of mind and ability to focus on the right things are all chopped up. Instead of keeping their eyes on the Lord, the focus is on things. And the Lord doesn't want us to be focusing just on things. He wants us to focus on him. Are you listening to me? He wants us to focus. So watch this. So the first thing he reminds us of, I believe in this verse, is worry is needless. Worry is needless. Life is more than food and clothes. Yeah, more than food and clothes. And so you can't be preoccupied with just going to work so you can go to Dillard's. Yeah, he said, life is more than that. Are you listening to me? So watch this. But let me give you the second principle real quick. In verse 26, In verse 26, he reminds us that worry is senseless. Watch this. It's needless, as verse 26. But in 26, he says it's senseless. Why is it that it doesn't make sense? He directs the disciples' attention then and ours today to the fowls of the air. He says, consider, look at the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. He says, listen, the birds don't sow. But they eat. They don't store up in barns, but they eat. And what Jesus was saying to the disciples then and us today, just like I hook up the bird. Just like I take care of the bird. He was saying to them and to us, the same way I look out for them is the same way I look out for you. He said, you are my children. I take care of you. And my brothers and sisters, is that we have a God who continues to supply our every need. Listen to what Jesus is basically saying. Jesus is saying, consider the birds. He says, listen, they don't wake up in the morning filled with anxiety, worried about how they're going to eat, because they understand that just like I fed them yesterday. I wish I had help here. I'm going to feed them again today. And can I talk to somebody here? I don't know what you're worried about, but I want you to know, as long as God's been looking out for you, and as much as God has already done in your life, I want to submit to you that God has already got a wonderful track record. Because you never would have made it through what you've been through if it hadn't have been for God on your side. And now you got the nerve to start worrying now as much as God has already done in your life. I wish I had help in here. And so he's saying, worrying for you and I is senseless. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but somebody need to have a flashback. Oh, yeah, because it's been real rough for you. Oh, compared to then. Oh, you living like a king and a queen. Yeah, with all you done been through, come on, talk to me in there. Now, I know you got two or three outfits today, but you ain't always had. Come on, talk to me. I know you got a pantry full of food. Matter of fact, you ain't always had a house to put food in. I wish I had some help in here. Don't you forget. How you going to worry now? It's senseless. I got to quit. But watch this, my brothers and sisters. We can believe in God. And we should believe in God. Versus worrying. My brothers and sisters, watch this. You don't have to pray that the seasons change. You know why? Because God's been doing it. Ever since you've been here, the season's been changing. Come on, talk to me. You don't have to pray for the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. You know why? God's been doing it. Ever since you've been here, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to pray about that. My brothers and sisters, can I talk to somebody in here? I believe if somebody here got a testimony right now about what God has literally done in your life. Oh yeah, somebody can be a witness that he'll comfort you when you're lonely. Somebody can be a witness he'll heal you when you're sick. Somebody can be a witness that he'll get you off drugs. Somebody can be a witness he'll deliver you out of trouble. You've got a testimony. And so because of your testimony, how you gonna worry about what you're facing now based on what God has already done before? Can I tell somebody what he did then he can do now? If he did it before, he can do it again. I'm through. I'm in my seat. Senseless for us to worry. It's senseless.
If I were you, I would say, tell myself, I'm not wasting any more time worrying. I ain't wasting no more good energy worrying. I'm not staying awake another night worrying. I ain't walking the floor another night worrying. Because for me, I don't know about you, it's senseless to me. And I'm not doing it. But my brothers and sisters, I'm through. Let me give you this last thing. When you look at this last verse, verse number 27. It's interesting, my brothers and sisters, because the Greek word for statue, heliakia, in Greek, which means age, a statue. In other words, Jesus is saying, watch this, teaching against worry. Worry is not going to add another year to your life. And worry is not going to make you no taller. There's no positive benefits in worrying. Did you hear me? I said there's no positive benefits in worrying. And so my brothers and sisters, that's why I can hear Paul saying in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, I hear him saying, do not be anxious about anything. But he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, Paul is saying, instead of being filled with anxiety and worry, he said, rather pray. I wish I had some help in here. If it's something you can't change, you can't do nothing about it, he says, go ahead and talk to God about it. Did y'all hear me? I said, you need to have a little talk with Jesus. Matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you what we ought to do, guilt edge, rather than worrying about things we cannot change? Instead of worrying about things we cannot fix, I come to tell somebody what we ought to do is trust God. Do I have any help in here? Because I can hear the word of God saying, yet you ought to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do I have any witnesses in here? And that's all I come by here to tell you this morning, guilt edge, is that worry won't do you any good. Worry will affect your health. Worry will consume your thoughts. Worry will disrupt your productivity. In other words, worry is useless. Did y'all hear what I said? I said worry is useless. And what I made up in my mind that I'm going to do, I made up in my mind I'm going to keep trusting in the Lord. Did y'all hear me? When I don't understand how things are going to work out, I made up in my mind I'm going to keep on trusting God. Do I have any help in here? The reason why I'm going to trust him, he got a good track record. When I look back over my life and see all the hills and the mountains and the valleys, the Lord has already brought me over. It gives me confidence and hope that the same God who brought me through then is the same God who will bring me through now. And I wonder in here, is there anybody here who's got the same kind of testimony and the same kind of resolve that I'm going to keep on trusting God? He's a mighty good God. Do I have any help in him? Because worry belongs to the devil, but I made up in my mind I'm not letting the devil rule my life. I ain't letting the devil take charge of my life. I made up in my mind I'm going to keep on trusting God. Do I have any help in here? I wonder in here, is there anybody here made up in your mind you're going to trust in the Lord? Trust, I said, in the Lord. Yes, I am. The doors of the church are open. Breaking free from worry. I don't know what you've been worrying about.
But I want you to know that it's not of God that you and I worry. God wants us to continue to trust in him. Just want to praise you forever and ever and ever for all you done for. Come on, blessings and glory. Blessings and glory and honor. Won't you come? Come on, everybody just want to praise you. If you're here without Christ, without a church home, won't you come? Make your dead your family. Make Jesus your choice. For all you done for me. Come on, blessings. Blessings and glory. They all belong to you. Thank you. Come on, one more time. Come on, everybody, just want to praise you. Tell me how long. For all you done. Blessings and glory. Come on. Yeah. God bless your decision, counselors. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. I trust and pray that you've been blessed by the word of God today. Amen. Teaching us against worry. Amen. But encouraging us to continue to trust God. Amen. Who has never let us down. And he never will let us down. Amen. God bless you. Certainly, Guilt Edge, I want to encourage us again today to make sure that we continue to support the work of this ministry. Amen. Through our financial giving. And don't forget, amen, we have special envelopes for a church anniversary. If you want to pay yours or pay it in full today, you can get one of those envelopes. And certainly we would appreciate it. Amen. We want to have a record offering next Sunday. And so I want to encourage you to give. Just do your best. Amen. We asked each member for $100. And don't forget our project fund as well. Amen. Let's continue to support that as well. Amen. I know we're going to have some. We've got to have our air conditioner and furnace installed. Our trustees are taking care of that. Amen. So hopefully that's going to be done real, real soon. And I'm just excited about, amen, what God has done, doing, and what he's going to do in the life of this ministry. Amen. We had a finance meeting a few weeks ago or so, and we are doing good as it relates to our budget. Amen. We are on target, maybe a little ahead of schedule if we just continue to give and support as we've done in the past. Amen. Everything is going to be all right. Amen. And so I'm just asking you to just continue to do what, amen, God has commanded us to do and what we know is right to do. Amen. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. I thank God for those who came to the meeting this past Wednesday. Amen. About the development, BWI wanted to do a development here on Eastern Boulevard, and the community spoke in opposition of that. And I think that there's going to be a zoning meeting that's going to take place on Wednesday downtown. And I'm sure though there are going to be those individuals who are going there to once again express and voice their opposition. Also, I want to make sure.